I'd like to introduce a speaker today who will speak until 10:10, and then answer questions from the audience if we have any time. Let's welcome Chucky. Chucky!
Good morning. Woo! All right, everybody. Hi, everybody. I'm Chucky, and I'm an alcoholic. Chucky checking in so I don't have to check out. Welcome to newcomers. Welcome home. First of all, it's Mother's Day. And can I see the hands of all moms out there? Come on. Come on, people. I love y'all. Hi, Mama. I love you. Did I get all the moms out there? And for those of you who aren't moms, moms mean more a lot. It's in the heart and the love and caring. It goes way beyond mothers, the birth of a child. It's what's inside that counts. Anyhow, I'm Chucky and I'm alcoholic and I'm going to start bawling right now because it's Mama Day and I'm a big-ass mama's boy and I'm a crybaby. And ma'am, your son, you're going to be getting calls wanting to know why his socks are pink, okay? Trust me, and how to make fried chicken. You will be getting those calls. I'm 46 years old, and I may grow old, but I may not have to grow up. I am a mama's boy. And what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. A little more about myself. As I was raised, I was born in Norfolk, Virginia on a ship. Did you get your rose? I was born on a ship. My dad was in the military. I'm a brat. I was raised in Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee, and West Virginia. You know, I'm a country boy, and I was raised, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, do not roll your peas around your plate or you will get slapped. Church on Sunday was mandatory. You got a whooping if you didn't go to church, and I didn't think that was very Christian-like. And, you know, I was brought up wrestling Hogs and Gators in Florida, and I remember my first drunk was with my brother. We were in a 76 Chevy Monte Carlo heading to Daytona Beach drinking Bacardi. And I remember puking all over the window. And I remember that. And, you know, I have to tell you, this Alcoholics Anonymous, but drugs are a big part of my story. I was raised in Florida on cocaine, Quaaludes, mushrooms, and Columbia Gold. As a kid, I never got an education because I was always eating mushrooms, walking through the cow pastures on the way to school. And the blackboard was always, and she would start writing, and that's the way it was, you know. And I was raised up barefoot in lightning bugs and mud puddles and hunting. My mom raised me. I never had a dad. I had a lot of alcoholic father figures, you know. And there was never no violence. Anytime there was any violence or somebody raised their voice, my mama said, "Get in the car, let's go." And we moved a lot. I moved a lot and school to school. I graduated sixth grade like three times. And on and on. And when I was nine, I was hit by a car. And I laid in the hospital 2 years in a coma. So this is what they tell me. And I don't remember a whole lot of my childhood. I don't remember a whole lot of school. I don't remember a whole lot of reading and writing. But I do remember playing with angels. And they told me, I heard God tell me, "Go home, son, your mom needs you." and I came to in a hospital, and my face was all mangled, and I was in bad shape. But, you know, in our time, they tell me it was 2 years. In their time, it was a split second. And I came to, and then Mama sent me to go live with Grandma and Grandpa. And I had this big machine on my head, kind of like the Forrest Gump run Forrest thing, you know. It was one of those situations, and Mama sent me to go live with Grandma and Grandpa. My grandpa was a preacher. He was also a drunk, and we used to drink moonshine and go fishing, doodling, a matter of fact. And my grandma was this little lady. My mama was a little lady, too. And Mama knocked me out with a roll of toilet paper one time because she didn't take no crap. And Granny used to tan that hide because she didn't take no crap either. And Grandpa was blind, and Grandma couldn't hear, but they had this little thing where I didn't get away with nothing, okay? Nothing. I remember my grandma, she used to smoke Pall Malls, and she would stand them up on the end, and I would take one, and I would lay them back down flat, and she knew, you know, she knew. But, you know, and it was just, you know, I drank and I used. My family was, I want to say dysfunctional, but no, that's not the case. Loving, caring, my brother, my sister, we moved a lot, and I left Florida in 78. I moved out here to California. Back home, you know, here you're going to live with your Aunt Penny and Uncle Bill, and, you know, they're more none of my kin folks. That's, you know, I had no kin folks, but that's what they say. This is your uncle, and this, and this, and this. And so anyhow, my mom left me out there. She came out here. I moved in 78, and I went to Carson, and I became a cross-country runner because I could run. You know, I couldn't read or write, but I could run and play sports, and I got in a lot of fights because of my accent, and I got to hang out with the stoners because I had this big old mullet with mullet and a crop and long hair down to here. You know, I rode a Honda 125 and black leather pants and a bandana and a leather jacket. I had it going on, you know, and then I became a heavy meddler. You know, Judas Priest, and I still had the crop and, you know, leather, and, you know, I fit in because we could drink and use drugs. And, you know, I never went to school, and, you know, my best buddy got run over by an 18-wheeler. He was in a band, and we used to band out, and I was a roadie, and, you know, I drank and I used. My daughter was born. I met her. I jumped off the second-story building in Carson High because I was a nut. I'm still a nut and an idiot and crazy and insane and all that good stuff. And I landed on some dude, and I stood up, and, there she was, you know, the love of my life. Right? And I was stoned, of course, you know. What's up, girl? You know. And we had a baby when I was 16, and I delivered my daughter in Hawthorne, California on March 18th. And, you know, we drank and we partied, and I partied, and she was a normie, and her dad was an alcoholic. And, you know, I remember going to, I did all the Lamaze classes and everything, because I want to be this good father, the father that I never was, you know. And she went into labor, and we went to drove her to the hospital. Wow, we got down there. Cops actually gave us an escort because I was speeding, and they took us in there. And anyhow, I got on a smock, right? I'm all dressed in this smock, and I'm walking around the hospital, and it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I find the doctor's lounge, all right? Full-on bar, lounges and everything, and I remember telling myself, one drink. I think it's legal to have one drink an hour. Ain't that what the law says? And my wife was in labor for 16 hours, okay? So become delivery time. Let me tell y'all something, people. Yeah, talk about country boy. I was drunk and anyhow delivered, and everything was fine until the placentia, the afterbirth. They didn't say nothing about that. That's when I lost my lunch and I hit the floor. Yeah. It's a true story right here. He's all, here, hold this. I'm all, what's this for? And just, So, and you know, my daughter was born. She's 28 years old today, and you know, I get to be a dad today. I get to be a grandpa. I got to go back to Alabama and with my mom and walk my daughter down the aisle. That was the happiest day of my life. Why I'm here, people, is because of my mom. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here, literally. And I would have never made it to Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, I was arrested 24 times in the state of California, 4 in Florida, 3 in Alabama, and I had a warrant in Tennessee due to drugs and alcohol. I'm not a criminal. I'm an idiot. I go to jail. I just do stupid stuff, you know, but I'm not a criminal. I remember I'd never been a thief until I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember one time I stole this little boy's bicycle, lived down the street. And mom's like, where'd you get that? She tanned my hide all the way down the street. Then the neighbors tanned my hide all the way back home. And because that's what it was back home. You did wrong, you got a whooping. It was just, that was it, you know. And so anyhow, like a week later, my mom bought me this badass Stingray. Banana seat, yellow with the tassels and just chrome fenders. And I had it going on. Y'all remember them Stingrays? Right? So I had that thing about 3 days and somebody stole it. And I cried for a week, and it was horrible. My brand new bicycle, Mama told me to go get the groceries out of the Cadillac. We had a big Cadillac we used to go hunting and fishing in, too. And Duck Dynasty people. And so Mama told me to go get the groceries out of the Cadillac, and I popped open the trunk, and there was my bicycle in there. And I'm like, oh, she goes, how'd that make you feel when you stole that? Oh, I'm like, I didn't feel good at all. She says, that's how that little boy felt. And, you know, I never stole that thing after that. I have feelings, you know. But I drank and I used. It's just what we do. And anyhow, 5 DUIs, 2. I know I'm all over the place, but, you know, I moved out here after my divorce because my wife left me because I was out here. My mom got sick, and I flew out here to see her, and she had some open heart stuff, and she had some major health issues, and I flew out here, and I was taking care of my mom, but I was drinking, and I was partying, and I should have had my ass back home in Alabama where I belong, and anyhow, I went back home to Alabama one time, and my wife had left me. She moved out in with another guy, and, you know, I loaded up a U-Haul, and I headed back out here, and I moved in with my mom, because I am a mama's boy, and my mom was my life, and we lived on this big houseboat down in the harbor, and I got a job welding, and I drank, and I partied, and I come home from work one day and I found my mom sitting on the bed and she didn't know who she was. And I'm like, Mama, are you okay? And she didn't know me or nothing. And something was wrong. So I called the ambulance and the ambulance come and got her. And I went to the bar and drank while the ambulance took my mom away. Because I didn't want to feel. I didn't want to know what was going on. And 3 days later, I went to the hospital and she had an aneurysm. The right side of her brain exploded and she lived. And, you know, Mom went through a lot of therapy and stuff when we got her home. But the day that I found my mom, I got on my knees and I asked God. I said, God, we beg and we barter. Please let me have 5 more years with my mom. I promise and swear I'll be a better son. And off to the bar I went, then to the drug dealers. Then I kept doing what I'm doing. And anyhow, I went to prison and jails and 5 DUIs, and I kept doing what I was doing, and my mom bounced around to my daughter and here and there, and, you know, and I got her home, and I was living in this apartment in Long Beach, and there was 4 bars on the corner. I got home from work, and I went to the bars because I like to drink and party and dance and carry on and have a good time, and I came home, and I was doing in-home support. My mom's speech was messed. She learned to function on the left side of her brain. God doing... This is all God. She could walk and talk. A lot of y'all knew my mom. I used to bring her to meetings, and you know, her speech was messed up. But if she put a cuss word in a sentence, it was some key word that she could talk perfect. You know, like her long term was good, but her short term was messed up. You know, and I'd be talking to my mom. She's all, "Get your ass home. Where the hell are you?" You know, and I'm like, "Fuck, Mom, chill the f out." You know, I'm a effing meeting. And everybody's like, dude, why do you talk to your mom like that? And I'm like, here. Okay? Here, go ahead. You talk to her. I'm going to go. So then I started, you know, I was drunk. And my bottom was, I was drunk. And I was sitting on the couch. And my mom was sitting on the couch. We were watching TV. And she got up and she went to fall. And I went to catch her. And I wasn't there because I had been drinking. And she fell, and I kind of like dropped her. I don't remember the whole situation, but I remember standing over my mom. God was looking through me at her for that moment of clarity, spiritual awakening. I had sobered up, and I saw my mom crying. That was my bottom. That's a day I'll never want to forget. I remember my last drunk, but I remember standing over my mom. And I picked her up. Then I was drunk again. I picked her up, and I threw her on the couch like a sack of potatoes. And I went back to the bar because I don't give a shit about anybody or anything when I'm drinking. It's just what I do. And I went on a run, and I had come home about 3 or 4, I don't know. I don't know when I came home, and my mom had moved out. She took everything, even the front door. She called my sister and got a U-Haul. She left me a bed, a lamp, and a TV, cleaned out our account, and my car got in. I had nothing but 2 bags, and I started drinking with the bums behind the liquor store. We call them alcoholics. I call them, you know, that's what I do. And I remember waking up one morning. I still had crack and speed and a 30-pack, and I had to use my last candle to smoke my last bit of I burned up my last candle, people. And I remember waking up, just that simple. And I remember waking up and seeing these guys around me in my apartment that was empty, no front door, eviction notice, security standing there. And I met a guy at a church that I went to, and I never met him before. And he said, if you ever, ever need me, call me. And I called that man. He left that church that day and picked me up and took me to Charlie Street. From Charlie Street, I went to a Christian program because my mama, my grandma's son, when you need help, you turn to the Lord. He'll help you. He's the only one that can. And I didn't know what she meant back then, but I do today. I have a God in my life. And I do not put limitations on him. And I asked for help, and you know, I got sober. I started going to meetings. I tried the Christian program. They pissed me off. I went and got drunk again because that's what I do. And I was collecting unemployment checks for 9 months while I was in this Christian program, and I had another plan, and I was off and running. That's what I do. And you know, and God called me back to Tustin. It's just that plain and simple, doing for me what I could not do for myself. I ended up going back to that Christian program. My counselor guy said, dude, you don't belong here. So they put me in a sober living right over on San Juan and Red Hill. And woke up the next morning. Cisco dude woke me up and said, let's go to a meeting. And I walked into the Knights of Columbus 6 a.m. attitude modification meeting. And when I walked in there, you know, I've always been a happy, joyous kind of high-strung, high-spirited kind of fella, you know. But I have feelings today, and I have a heart, and God has blessed me. Okay. Anyhow, so I started going to meetings. I had 6 months. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't working the steps. I was loitering people, hanging out, sniffing and wagging around because that's what we do. I had this bright idea that, you know, you guys talk about drink like a gentleman, control drinking, you know, switching from scotch. So I had this bright idea that I was going to go do that. And I did. I went to Sizzler and ordered a steak and lobster and a Heineken. And that was my idea of a gentleman. And I had a napkin and utensils. And that didn't work very good. So I went to Diva's and I put my 6 month chip up there, and a lady gave me 6 Jack and Cokes. And then 6 Budweisers. Just like it talks about, switching, switching, switching. So then I got a little liquid courage, and then I went to the Swinging Doors, and I had like 3 of their big beers there, and it's all just on the floor, and I felt right at home right there. And I was just getting started, and now I'm on a bicycle. I live in a sober living, and I'm going to go look for her because that's what I do. I'm going to put her on my handlebars. I went to Godfather's. I love tequila. Started drinking tequila, walked out, smoked cigarettes, saw Tustin in, went over there. Figure I'm getting kind of drunk, so I better switch Coors Light. What it talks about, right? And I said, you know, this ain't working. So then I went back to Diva's because that's where she was. And I remember seeing her. It was her birthday. She was drunk. I was drunk. She fell off of her bar stool. I fell off of my bar stool. I was laying on the floor looking at her thinking, how in the hell is she going to be able to sit on my handlebars when she can't sit on her bar stool? So my thinking is, okay, I got an idea. I'll let her ride the bicycle, and I'll sit on the handlebars. There's a will, there's a way. You know, this is going to happen, and never did. I got on my bicycle, went home, and I fell off my bicycle. I busted my head wide open to the skull. I still have a scar. It was like 4 inches wide to the skull. It was just that simple. You could put a chip in it, and it was bad. It was bad news. It wasn't bothering me, and I woke up the next morning and stuck to the pillow, and it was a hell of a mess. Yeah, people, it's what I do. I cannot drink. It's just that simple. Something always happens. And I went back to the meeting next morning. I was going to go drink. Jack picked me up, sobered me up, put me in his truck. A couple days later, they gave me a sponsor because I had too much pride and ego to ask for help. You know, Southern, you know, pride, you know, that's what I do. And so he said, here, call me every day. Woo. So I called him every now and then because, you know, who gives a shit? And he gave me this big book, one of these right here, people. He said, here's a highlighter. Look, read the doctor's opinion. Highlight anything you can relate to. Look up some words. And he goes, and we talk, and we're going to meetings and hanging out. I have so much fun. I went to my first river rafting trip. We pulled up there, and I thought they were going to drink, and they never did. And shit, you know. Then we went to the river out here, and I'm thinking they're going to drink. They never did. I'm like, these fuckers ain't going to drink, are they? And my sponsor called me like 3 or 4 weeks later. He says, all right, come over to the house and see what you got. And, you know, I went over there, and I had my bicycle and my backpack. And, you know, I had so much fun driving around here 18 months on a bicycle because I didn't have a driver's license. And school 10 and all that good stuff, but I was willing to go to any lengths. And I went over there, and he said, what do you got? And I said, Dan, I can't understand this. I can't comprehend. The man sat down with me every day, went through the big book about Alcoholics Anonymous. Talks about love and tolerance. I say love and tolerate because I'm a mess. And he put up with my shit, and we did these steps, and he helped me write my 4-step. And I got stuff home. I got a license. I got an apartment. I got my mom home. I got to be that son. When I asked God 16 years ago, let me have 5 years with my mom sober, he gave me that. I got to be the son that my mom always wanted. I used to bring her to parties and meetings. Got her a little dog. Still got this plant. My sponsor told me, get a plant. And if you still have a year, then you can get a dog. And then you can get your mom. And I did, and I did. And I still got that freaking plant, and I still got that freaking dog, but my mom died. But I can laugh about that today. This is gratitude. And, you know, I got a sponsor. Has a sponsor. I go to meetings. I be of service. Shay, don't worry about that ride, okay, sweetie? We'll get him home. Ma'am, don't worry about your son. He will be calling you wanting to know how to bleach his clothes back white. And, you know, I have a sponsor and I work some steps. I can read and write today. I have a driver's license in my name. I have a Cadillac and a pickup truck in my name with insurance. My keys go to stuff today. I am the man my dog wants me to be. And I share that because it didn't used to be like that. You know, if you guys are animal lovers, you know, my dog used to drink with me. And then he got tired of my drink and he'd go hide under the bed because I was a piece of shit. And it's not like that today. Today when I show up, he spins and he wags his tail and he's laughing. He's ready to go pee-pee. And some people in my life today that I've never had beyond your wildest dreams. Some people in this room that I truly, truly love. You guys are my family. Family of love, not of blood. I got this best buddy. I got to share with him. I talk to him more than I do my sponsor. Alan Bryan is over here. And we talk every day. I have people that, I don't have no secrets today, people. I have nothing to hide. I get to feel the good, the bad, the happy, and the sad. I work these steps on a daily basis. I wake up this morning. I sat out with mom. I had a cup of coffee and smoked a cigarette and bawled my eyes out. I asked God. I was going to wear a pink shirt with a pink tie for Mama, but she told me no. She's here with us now. She's never going to leave. No more hurt. No. My mom was in the hospital. We used to have a joint account. And I used to get disability and Social Security checks. And I wanted to keep her alive so I could collect them. Because I'm a selfish, self-centered son of a bitch. And when I talked to God, and I saw my mom there, it's like, who's the one suffering here? She was ready to go home. She waited. She was in the hospital and had a heart attack, and her heart quit for over 10 minutes, and she came back. She fought, and she held on. My daughter got to fly out here. I got to take my grandson across the ferry to the beach for the first time in his life. And, you know, when I got to take my mom back to Alabama, walk my daughter down the aisle, that was the happiest day of my life, and I didn't drink. Saddest day was taking my mom off of life support and watching her die. I didn't drink. I don't drink today. I am not cunning, baffling, powerful. God has removed the obsession of drinking use. I remember I didn't go any liquor stores for a long time. And one time I went to Albertsons. I was going to go get some cookies for a meeting. And I was walking down the liquor aisle and I looked over. And I realized that I haven't thought about a drink for a while, long time. And my sponsor trusts me. If you guys are new, get a sponsor. I'm not a big book thumper. I'm going to be honest to you right now. My sponsor asked me the other day, I shared about this. He's like, when's the last time you opened the big book? I'm like, shit, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And he's like, well, when's the last time you helped a newcomer? Well, she came over Wednesday. When was the last time you got down on your knees and talked to God? I said, she came over Wednesday. What I didn't tell y'all is I got to babysit for that lady while she went to a meeting. It's one alcoholic helping another. Shay, like I said, sweetie, you don't worry about that ride. I live over in Anaheim, and I have a license today. We'll go pick him up and get him to a sober living. I don't need to know what's on page 44, fourth paragraph, but I can tell you, 417, on awakening, let us think about 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. That's what I do in the morning. I woke up this morning. I can't, he can, and I will let him. I keep it simple because I'm a simple person. I don't drink. I don't use. Four is under my bed because more will be revealed. Five, I'm up here right now sharing with you people, which is also 10th, 11th, and 12th. Six and seven are like whack-a-moles. They pop up on a daily basis. My best character defects keep me up here and keep you guys laughing. You know, hello, principles before personalities. I don't know what principles mean, but I have a personality. And if God wants them, he'll take them, okay? Eight and nine, my dad is the last name on my four-step until I run across people that I've screwed over. That, you know, it's a never-ending process. And 10, 11, and 12, I just got my truck out of the shop. I have this big sticker on the back of the window that says, got time, and an AA sticker. I will run you the fuck off the road and pray for you later. Because that's what I do. You know what? I'm here to represent people. And one drink. I'm going to go out there and get my Cadillac because it's not going to get me drunk. It's going to kick in my disease. I'm going to get in my Cadillac. I'm going to drive back to prison if I make it and don't kill somebody first, because that's where I end up. I remember my last drunk. I remember my first drunk. I remember standing over my mom watching her cry. Love you, Mama. To you moms out there, happy Mother's Day. It's nothing in this world a drink's going to make any better today. To drink is to die. Your past will become your present. If you're struggling, that's okay, because this too shall pass. I've learned that pain and suffering is manufactured. I love to time travel, okay, people, in the past. I'm going to fix that. And then my sponsor tells us, where's your ass? I'm all right here. Bring the rest of it with you. Right here, right now. And, you know, it talks about your beyond your wildest dreams. I got some pretty freaking wild dreams, people. And my prayers have been answered. I don't drink today. I could babble on. Time for me to shut up now. Now I'm going to start crying. So my mom's proud. She's here with us now. I'm a son. I'm a father. I'm a grandpa. I'm a friend. I'm a friend. It takes a friend to be a friend. I'm family. I have a brother and a sister. My sister's trying to get into rehab and acting because I pray for her. And I didn't pray for her to get run over by a bus because that's what we're good at. My brother is in a nursing home because he's got some issues. And my brother's a drunk and my sister's a full-blown alcoholic. I didn't know what I wanted to be. So, you know, and then I remember one time on my one-year birthday, I called my ex-wife. And I said, there's something I got to tell you. And she goes, no, there's not. And I go, yes, there is. She goes, no, there's not. I go, yes, there is. She goes, what step are you on? I'm like, I don't know, two. And, I told her, I said, there's something. She goes, no. She goes, I was going to Al-Anon ever before I met you. And I said, I want to tell you I'm sorry. She goes, I know. She goes, I didn't leave you because you're drinking and using. I left you because I thought you were going to leave me. These steps are in order for a reason, people. And it says, became willing to make amends except when to do so would injure them or others. That's exactly what I did. I was not on that 9-step, and I hurt both of us. But we're a family today, and you guys are my family. And I love you dearly. There's nothing to drink is going to make any better today. I'm chucking them up all.
Five minutes for question and answer. Where's Al? Yep. It's all about you, baby.
Talk to me, people. What do you want to know? Callie Patterson. I woke up this morning and I talked to God and I asked God, I can't, he can, and I will let him. I got on the phone with another alcoholic And I talk to them first thing this morning. And, you know, I wake up in the morning and I talk to God. I get God in here before I get in here because it's a fucking dangerous place to be. And for those of you who know me, it is a dangerous place. And I didn't drink. And what do I do to stay sober? I can't, he can't, and I'll let him. I talked to another alcoholics, and I got my butt to a meeting. And I didn't drink in between. Pretty simple. But don't complicate it. Anybody else? Come on, people. I have all the answers. I just need the questions. And life is not boring today. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I do. It's one of these. It's 6 a.m. Attitude modification, brown baggers, Alki's Winner's Circle. One of this was where I got sober. Thursdays down at Sunset Beach. I have some meetings out in South Orange County, the Orange Olive. AA is my home. No matter where I go, there I am. I have a sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor.
One more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you a sponsor?
Yes, ma'am. Well, it all depends how you look at that. I have a lot of people that call me. I get to be of service. Like Shay, I'm going to go help another alcoholic. Talks about men with the men and women with the women. Bullshit. Show me that in the big book. It was the women that loved me here unconditionally till I learned how to love myself. It's one alcoholic helping another. And yes, I do sponsor in my own way. Has gone through the book with a few men. They never made it because I'm not a big book thumper. I just don't drink no matter what, but I can tell you what page is what page is what page. And like I said, steps on a daily basis. They are a way of life. Yes, ma'am, I do sponsor people. More questions? I have answers. Come on, people.